Welcome. Jump into the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast, where leading with love isn't just nice, it's genius. I'm Laurel Donnellan.
And I'm Daryl Brown. We'll unpack business strategies infused with empathy and action, driving both profit and purpose. Our world is ever-changing, so discover how the savvy leader wears compassion as their power suit.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 5th Annual Compassionate Leader Circle Awards. My name is Meryl Erickson, and I have the honor of serving as your host today. I'm the Chief Compassion Officer at Compassionate Leader Circle, a role that allows me to blend my passion for leadership, purpose, and people every single day. This work is personal to me because compassion in leadership is a transformative force. It builds trust, heals systems, and helps people thrive. Small acts of care can spark big change, and I'm here to help others lead with that same intention. Each year, we choose one of Compassionate Leader Circle's 5 core values as the theme for the celebration. This year, our focus is kindness. At Compassionate Leader Circle, we define kindness. We strive to treat everyone, including ourselves, with open hearts, open minds, and compassion. It's a simple word, but not a small idea. In workplaces, schools, communities, and even in our own inner dialogues, kindness can be revolutionary. Over the next 4 years, we'll be celebrating our remaining core values, equity, excellence, courage, and joy, one at a time, giving each the space it deserves. But today, it's all about kindness. And what better way to honor that than by spotlighting the amazing humans who embody it in their leadership? Thank you for being here. I'm going to introduce Marietta Bolster, who is someone who lives and breathes kindness. She promotes compassion every day in her role as our Director of Educational Partnerships, supporting our K-12 schools and building more caring, connected communities. But today, she's channeling that same energy into managing our compassionate community, helping us stay grounded, organized, and inspired throughout the ceremony. Thank you, Marietta.
Welcome, everyone. So happy to be here. Happy to be working with Meryl and Laurel and Sarah and diving into the K-12 programs and curriculum. And I look forward to sharing more about that and being here with everybody to hear your stories. Thank you.
I want to acknowledge something that I think most people are feeling these days, that the world can feel heavy and fast moving, and sometimes harsh. And that's why kindness really matters more than ever. And at Compassionate Leader Circle, and through these awards, we hope to create a space that feels safe, human, and kind, a place where compassion isn't just welcomed, but it's celebrated. At CLC, Compassionate Leader Circle, we celebrate and guide leaders who are building more compassionate workplaces and individuals who are seeking meaningful, purpose-driven work. We believe compassion is not just a personal value, it's a powerful strategy in leadership, culture, and change. Each year, we highlight a select group of compassionate leaders who are inspiring those around them. These are people leading with empathy, courage, and care. And today, we're here to share their stories and honor their work. We're going to do individual recognition for our 11 honorees. And then towards the end, we're going to do a very brief, quick-fire panel to help each of you with insights and takeaways from today's ceremony. It is my honor to introduce someone who has truly shaped this vision, Laurel Donnellan. She is the founder and CEO of Compassionate Leader Circle and the creator of these amazing awards. Laurel, take it away.
It's my great honor to help tell the stories of these amazing men and women who we're going to honor today. But frankly, every day is a privilege for me because I get to tell the stories of compassionate leaders and shine a bright light on them. I feel like our media doesn't always tell the stories of men and women waking up every day and doing the right thing and helping people, and we get to do that today. This is our fifth year doing the awards. We're very proud of them. It's also the fifth year that we're doing podcasts about compassionate leaders and the seventh year where we write about compassionate leadership in Forbes. And I'm grateful for Forbes to give me that opportunity. You know, every day at Compassionate Leaders Circle, we get to do amazing things with amazing people all over the world. We work with teams and organizations on helping them bring compassion into their culture. We help individuals find and follow their soul work. And we're getting into relaunching our K-12 program. So we're helping grow future compassionate leaders. And I get to do that every day with my team. And I have great love for Merrill, who's in charge of organizations, and Sarah, who's in charge of individuals and professional certifications, and Marietta that works with K-12 students in schools. But let me give a special thanks to our sponsors. First is Paul Engels at Engels Inc. He's our inaugural partner. He's been working with us for 5 years. He does amazing digital, one-of-a-kind creative digital promotions and sales funnel work. And without him, you probably would have not heard about this. So thank you, Paul and Engels Inc. We also partner with Canyon Ranch, which is a one-of-a-kind health spa and resort. They have three properties, one in Woodside, California, one in Tucson, Arizona, and one in Lenox, Massachusetts. Sarah Feely and I get to go and teach there in Tucson next week. We're very excited about that. They offer everyone in our community upgrades and benefits, so check that out. We also partnered this year with Changing Work, which is a super special community that helps compassionate leaders every day do better work from the inside out. And I'd like you to go and check out their newest book, which is about compassionate leadership that the members wrote together. It's my great honor to pass the baton to Sarah Feely, who's going to give us a little education as the Chief Learning Officer. Thanks, Sarah.
Hello, everyone. Honored to have you here today. We're all really busy. And thank you for pausing your daily lives to lean into what we're doing here, which is living compassion, kindness, and really importantly, hope for our current and future world. I want to get us clear on what is compassionate leadership. Compassion is a word that's shared a lot in daily language, but what does it mean to be a compassionate leader? For us at CLC, it's the practice of using your head and your heart to inspire and influence people so they can in turn inspire and influence others. We're really lucky that there's increasing data and research around compassion, power of compassionate leadership, compassion in the workplace, might fall under the umbrella of topics you've heard like inclusive leadership, transformational leadership, psychological safety, but just some high-level data around compassionate leadership. It increases job satisfaction by over 50%, commitment to an organization by 30%, and decreased burnout by 40%. This is it in an HBR article from 2022 research. However, in a separate study, 80% of leaders want to know how to enhance compassion but don't know how. So a lot of opportunity for us to make major impact in the work and in lives. There's a really interesting nuance between empathy and compassion. Empathy is the feeling towards someone, to have empathy for someone. And compassion is taking that empathy and turning it into action. So compassion adds the action piece about doing something about it, which is an important nuance difference between those two. We talk about this here when we teach compassionate leadership in organizations and in our one-on-one coaching. A lot of folks are really good at compassion and kindness and love towards others. And so we always have to ask ourselves, are we being compassionate and kind towards ourselves? And what does that look like? So there's certainly a self piece to compassionate leadership as well. A little bit of history about the CLC Awards. We've been gathering nominations for 5 years. This is our fifth annual. We've had close to 1,000 nominees and nominators, so 1,000 of each during these 5 years. This year, we had over 200 nominations from our community across the globe. Laurel's been doing this for 26 years, and several years ago, she really felt the need to create these awards to shed light on the people in their corners of the world, working with conviction and courage and compassion who are positively impacting humanity. They acknowledge our universal interconnectedness and use their influence to really support people and planet. Every year, we have the daunting task of choosing our honorees who represent this large community. And I'll tell you a little bit about that group in a moment. Today, we're going to honor 11 nominees. They come from sectors across healthcare, hospitality, venture capital-backed businesses to not-for-profits. We have small grassroots organizations. We've had nominees from and honorees from six continents thus far. Meryl, our Chief Compassion Officer, led our selection committee this year. We carefully read every application to learn about each nominee. And these, you know, there are no winners or losers here, just a diverse group of folks and honorees reflecting the many ways compassion shows up in leadership. I'm going to pass it back over to Meryl and Laurel, who will introduce our honorees.
We're going to be welcoming three honorees who, two of whom are here, one could not join us, from outside the U.S., Asia, South America, and Europe. Our first honoree this year is not here with us today. Sabitri Sanyal is the founder of the Kyokin Foundation, based in India, where she works to create a world of emotionally resilient and compassionate youth. As an educator and mental health professional, she works with children, adolescents, and families in vulnerable situations. Her approach to healing integrates self-compassion, trauma-informed education, the arts, movement, and counseling. Sabitri has had the privilege of working and volunteering with organizations in the development sector for over a decade and contributing her skills and passion to meaningful causes. She asked me to share this one brief sentence. When I hear the word leadership, three things shine for me, and they are compassion for self, compassion for community, and collective well-being and resilience. So we love you, Sabitri. We're sorry that you're not here, but we'll accept your honor and send you your award. Next up, we have Julia. Julia Sakula is a climate tech executive and author with over a decade of experience spanning Europe, Silicon Valley, and Latin America. She is on the founding team and currently serves as the CFO and head of Brazil at Teradot, dedicated to reversing climate change through innovation. She leads efforts to scale scientific and technological solutions for gigaton scale carbon removal through enhanced rock weathering in the global south. Enhanced rock weathering, ERW, has the potential to permanently remove billions of tons of CO2 while creating a positive future for humanity. She's a champion for Brazil and the Amazon ecosystem as a critical factor in reducing the negative impacts of global warming. She holds an MBA and an MSc from Stanford University and currently serves on the board of directors for World Resources Institute Brazil. Julia, in 30 seconds or less, what is one small thing that can spark big kindness at work?
I think one of the things I always think about is the best thing or most important thing we can do as leaders is be present. I think sometimes we overthink too much the right thing to say or the right, you know, action. But really, if you're just in the room with people, that's usually enough.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Julia. Next up, I have Florine. Florine Klomgath-Fritas is the director of the Worldwide Women's Forum, an international organization that promotes gender initiatives and advocates for women's empowerment. Through this platform, she fosters dialogue, solidarity, and practical action for gender equity and empowerment. Her approach has always been rooted in kindness, guiding her through complex humanitarian operations across Africa, Asia, and Europe. In the private sector, Florine leads Sika Golden Hotels and Suites, and Cicero and Togo, promoting quality service and professional excellence in hospitality and office-based management. Laureen, in 30 seconds or less, what is one small thing that can spark big kindness at work?
One of the things I have seen is humility and virtue. So I have now had the experience of the power of virtue, integrity, courage, compassion, curiosity, and kindness. So these are not soft ideals. They are the backbone of authentic leadership. When resources are limited, challenges feel overwhelming. An act of kindness is the one thing that glues us together so that we can work together with compassion, grit, and grace.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. We're so happy that you're here.
Thank you, Meryl. I have the privilege of introducing some folks back here in the U.S. from the Eastern Seaboard. We have someone representing us from Maine, Georgia, and then also someone from Miami and L.A. Our first honoree from the States is Ryan Polly. He's the Vice President of DEI Leadership and Organizational Development at Maine Health, a not-for-profit integrated health system with a vision of working together so our communities are the healthiest in America, a noble vision. He has been driven by one simple truth: transformation begins when we choose to live authentically with love as our guiding force. Having faced numerous challenges, including homelessness, the early loss of both parents, and having his first child at 16, he has become a leader who genuinely understands suffering and resilience. Ryan is also an ordained interfaith minister. He provides pro bono spiritual counseling and volunteers as a guest minister for different faith traditions. So, Ryan, what's your quick hit on how we can bring more kindness to work?
Yeah, I think, well, thank you. I think for me, it's really about seeing someone, truly seeing them beyond the mask that we all wear, seeing to their humanity and giving them the space to express who they are, to be seen, removing all the barriers, not focusing on productivity, not focusing on outcome, focusing on how they really are, and just holding that space for them. I believe that when we do that, kindness just flows. So it's just about presence and space.
Thank you for that beautiful reminder. Next, we have our friend from Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. D'Angelo Chief Bradley is a humanitarian and the founder and CEO of the Plan Purpose Program. This innovative youth mentoring organization aims to create social balance in underprivileged communities, one mind at a time. His approach involves cultivating relationships between youth and volunteer adult mentors, develops literacy and technology skills, and connecting them to opportunities such as internships, externships, and scholarship programs. 3P provides education and life skills and supports traditional educational success. He does much more than that. He's also a distinguished fire chief, business leader, inventor, and decorated veteran known for his unwavering commitment to service and compassion. Welcome, D'Angelo. And could you share a little tip on how to bring more kindness to work?
Thank you for the introduction. It's just an honor to be here amongst this group of people. I think it comes down to just the simplicity of verbally acknowledging people publicly and saying, hey, with sincerity, and let them know, hey, I appreciate what you do, your hard work, how you accomplish this, because it's the little things, the small positive words of affirmation that build people up. We want to build people up and not break them down. And that's intertwined in the genetics of being human. It's just to lift people up. And that's all about being compassionate. It's just actually providing positive affirmations. And that's how you show love to people, is by recognizing them.
Well, I hope we're giving you love back today. Thank you so much. Our next honoree is Francesca Reicheter, the founder of Inspiring My Generation, an organization dedicated to reducing the suicide rate through mental health awareness, conversation, education, and compassionate support. As a suicide attempt survivor, Francesca uses her story to help others feel less alone and encourage open discussions. She embodies compassion and kindness by showing up for those who feel invisible. She's a brave pioneer striving to normalize the courageous conversations we all need to have about mental well-being. Francesca hosts the podcast Normalize the Conversation and has authored 6 interactive workbooks. I want to thank all the honorees for doing work, but I especially want to thank you for being so brave, Francesca. Welcome. Give us something to do that can bring more kindness to work.
Thank you. For me, I'm a huge, huge fan and advocate of messages of encouragement, especially if you could do a handwritten note, a sticky note, a card, giving that tangible reminder that I see how hard you're working and you matter, not because of your work, but just because you exist.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Our next two honorees hail from California. Our first, Nancy Hines, is the founder of Hines Hospice. She has dedicated her life to serving others with compassion, faith, and unwavering purpose. A former nurse and missionary, Nancy was called to care for the dying long before hospice was widely understood in the United States. In 1981, 4 years after losing her husband to cancer as a young mother of 3 small children, she opened her home to patients in need. This laid the foundation for what would become the gold standard of loving hospice care, demonstrated every day at Hines by the team that continues to be inspired by the Nancy Factor. In recognition of her extraordinary contributions to healthcare and the community, Nancy was awarded an honorary doctorate from California State University, Fresno, in 2024. Nancy, could you share some way that we can spread more kindness in the world?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for just having this opportunity. One of the things that I feel is important is if we can listen with the ear of our heart when we're communicating with people. And of course, with hospice, we don't have a cure, but there's always room for healing. And I feel if people understand that you're listening with your heart to who they are and what is happening, that healing can take place.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here, Nancy. We're so grateful. And Amy, this is Amy Capalanti Wolf. She is the Executive Vice President and Chief People Officer at Dayforce, a global platform that combines payroll, HR benefits, talent, and workforce management. She has introduced transformative initiatives that prioritize employee well-being at Dayforce, including refresh days to address burnout, uninterrupted work hours, and a new and more inclusive structure for employee resource groups. Amy's leadership in 2024 set a new standard for people-first practices, resulting in measurable improvements in employee engagement, satisfaction, and retention, while highlighting the power of compassion and collaborative leadership. She sits on several boards and was named one of the top 50 most influential women tech leaders by the National Diversity Council. Thank you for being here, Amy. Can you share one small thing that can spark big kindness?
Thank you, Meryl, so much. And I, as I mentioned, I'm in our before we got into this session today, I'm so like honored to be amongst such an esteemed group of people. And Nancy's a hard act to follow with what she does with hospice. Here's what I would say, and it's simple, which I think simplicity is probably the best way versus overly complex. But I think about, if I may, when I'm in a conversation with several people and we're trying to solve a problem and everybody is into the group think, everyone's agreeing, you got consensus. And there's one person in the corner who's maybe disagreeing and maybe it doesn't have the voice that others have because they're not in alignment. And so what I do is I often reach out to that person in the room to say, I'm not hearing from you and you've got a different perspective and I want to hear that, because very often they're seeing things that we aren't seeing. And it's so easy to get caught up and then we're all in agreement, let's just go do it, without sometimes saying, are we leaving people behind? Are there people in the margins that, gee, if we brought them into the discussion, they would maybe have a better solution? And so while it is a practical approach, it means a lot to people because everyone processes things differently at their own pace. And if you can really celebrate that diversity and include them in a different way, you're going to make them feel much more engaged and supported and acknowledged, and you're also going to get to better solutions. So it's something I learned early on from a wonderful mentor, and it's served me well, and it's also served people who perhaps in the past were not acknowledged for having a different point of view.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
Inclusivity is critical right now. So thank you.
Our next two honorees are my dear friends and are both based in Denver, Colorado, and are extraordinary educators in hospitality business education. And they happen to be partners both in life and at work. So David's going to represent both of them. So this is Dr. David Corson. He's a professor and director of the Noble School of Hospitality Management and the Daniel School of Business at the University of Denver. Throughout his academic career, he's broken convention and helped students understand compassionate leadership from the inside out. Under his leadership, the school offers a one-of-a-kind social impact hospitality education where students are challenged while receiving deeply caring one-to-one support from David and his team. For the last 7 years, David has partnered with us to bring the Fritz Leadership Symposium to his students, where they explore personal purpose and experiment with ways to improve the future of hospitality through creating meaningful career visions. He left the restaurant industry, entered academia after realizing he could have a more significant impact by teaching young people the importance of creating humane workplaces. David, what do you have to offer in the kindness department?
The first thing that came to mind was empathy, but I'll be more specific. I think remembering that there isn't one best way, and that when we're engaged with others, we have to meet them where they are and remember that each of us is different and each of us has different experiences and ways of being and doing. And compassion, kindness comes from recognizing that and as I said, meeting people where they are.
Thank you very much. So, Dr. Sherry Young is an associate professor at the Noble School of Hospitality Management at the Daniels College of Business at the University of Denver as well. Sherry fiercely advocates for her students' personal and educational needs, blending business lessons with social justice brilliantly. One of her inventions is a program called RAW, Ready for American Hospitality, which opens the minds and hearts of students by pairing them with refugees from the ECDC slash African Community Center. This allows students to practice human resources management while supporting their refugee proteges and gaining practical employment skills. This life-changing partnership has existed for over 5 years, and they're now working with their 18th cohort. While her primary teaching areas include organizational behavior, labor relations, and human resources, her life's purpose is to help others realize their highest potential. So give Sherry our love, David, and thank you for being here.
You bet. Thank you all.
Our last honoree is from Houston, Texas, and unfortunately is not joining us today. Melissa Murphy is a serial social entrepreneur and global strategist committed to building purpose-driven businesses that create real impact. Melissa leads a portfolio of companies spanning professional services, sustainable agriculture, industrial innovation, and mission-driven consumer brands. She also has 8 kids. I mean, that's amazing. She focuses on her employees' growth while she grows all of her enterprises. Melissa remains grounded in her belief that anyone can thrive with the right tools and mindset. Beyond her corporate leadership, Melissa is deeply committed to philanthropic work, supporting education, health, and sustainable livelihoods. So we'll accept for Melissa and send her our love. Thank you all, and congratulations. What an amazing group. Thank you for all the beautiful encouragement. I have 2 questions, and what I'm going to do, honorees, is I'm going to ask the first question, and I have sort of half of you answering one and the other half answering the other, okay? So So, question, the first one is, what helps you stay kind when things get stressful? David, would you answer for us first, please?
It's so funny that you asked that because it's my greatest challenge, which is being contemplative. I think if I often think with my mouth open, and remembering to think first and then open my mouth in such situations is critical for me.
Thank you, David. Ryan, would you mind sharing just a brief sentence or two, please?
Sure, I was nodding in agreement with David. I think my daily contemplative practice definitely helps, but I think even more importantly, sometimes, we're all human. So sometimes that thing that comes out of my mouth that I didn't, that I regret. And for me, it's about what happens after that and having the humility to acknowledge my mistake, having the humility to say, I'm sorry I hurt you, I think is far bigger for me than always being perfect on the front end.
Ryan, how human of you to make a mistake, right? How human of all of
Exactly.
us to say something or do something that, it's just natural. Julia, are you still here? Julia, I would love you to weigh in on this.
Yes, absolutely. So I think that the thought that for me comes to mind with contemplative is not everything demands an immediate response, right? And so sometimes remembering that and remembering that despite the fact that we feel like we don't have time, we do have time. And that usually helps having a much more compassionate approach, I think.
Thank you. The idea of abundance, right? There's a place for everybody, there's a time for everything. It's a hard place to always live in when you are stressed. Amy, would you weigh in on that as well?
I'm a big believer of acting and not reacting. Because it's so easy when something triggers you to suddenly want to like respond in a way that may not be the best response. Instead, I take a big step back and say, okay, one, what's the intention of this person or the situation, and how does it affect me, and how do I take myself out of it so I can kind of rise up and not be in it but see above it, and then come back with a really, I think, rational and thoughtful approach. Because I think when you react, you regret. And back to the point of having to apologize, and we're all human, we all do it, but I find if I can just hold off a bit and kind of process what's going on, I'm much better in terms of how I show up. And also I think it encourages people around me to say, wow, like, she acted in a way where it was a positive impact versus, a negative impact. So act versus react.
Thank you so much, Amy. Okay, the next question is for Florine, D'Angelo, Francesca, and Nancy, okay? What's one phrase or mindset that helps you lead with compassion? Florine, would you like to go first?
Yeah,
Would you
sure.
please go first?
Sure. There is no path to wisdom. Wisdom is the path. So remembering to act with wisdom, compassion, love, humility at all time, and remembering that every step I take, I have to take it with wisdom, compassion at all time. So it's helped me being grounded, calm, and helpful to everyone.
Amazing. Thank you very much, Florine. D'Angelo, what helps you lead with compassion?
Like I said, I don't want to, beat a dead horse, but like I said before, servant leadership, also having a growth mindset. You have to build trust and kindness within the people that you're leading. And at the end of the day, if you have a growth mindset correlating directly to being a servant of the people you're working for, you'll have a positive outcome. So that helps me out with my leadership.
Amazing. Thank you very much.
Thank
How
you.
about you, Francesca? What's one phrase or a mindset that helps you lead with compassion?
Always go back to your purpose and start with why.
Beautiful. As people who do purpose work, thank you for saying that. Nancy, how about you? One, a phrase or a mindset that helps you lead with compassion?
I believe the authenticity of believing in compassion and modeling that.
Sorry, Nancy, can anybody else hear? I can't hear Nancy. Jeannie, maybe you can share her thoughts in the chat for us. Would you mind doing that? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I am honored to know all of you humans, and I'm delighted to see you all in the same space. I will encourage you and some of our attendees here to connect. I have said that to many of you, and I owe you some follow-up to connect you with one another. I had one question come up here that I just want to address here briefly, but the question is this: as we enter a period in America and in other parts of the world where cruelty is not only tolerated but modeled and encouraged at the highest levels of leadership, one of the greatest challenges of compassionate servant leadership is sustaining ourselves. How do we, as executive servant leaders, practice courageous, value-driven leadership while attending to the critical needs for our own self-care, and that we don't push ourselves to burnout or lose our heart in 2025 and beyond? My thought on this is to take a moment and breathe and ask how you can crack your heart open just a little bit more and push a little more love into the world, and that may be to yourself. And sometimes we forget that. We're always caring for others and supporting other people, and oftentimes we neglect our own needs and our own balance, to support others. And so really taking a moment to be at peace with your own self and be kind and compassionate to your own human self as you navigate these very challenging times. I keep getting goosebumps here. I'm calling from Central New York, and I'm honored and delighted to be a part of this. Thank you all for creating time in your very busy schedules. I want to thank my amazing colleagues, Laurel, Sarah, and Marietta. We look forward to spending more time with each of you who attended today and want to explore compassionate leadership for your organization, yourself, your school, whether that's K through 12 or higher education. And I would encourage everyone to do something simple today to be more kind to yourself and to others. I hope everybody has an amazing day. Go be in kindness to the world. We appreciate everyone, and congratulations to all of our nominees and all of our honorees this year. Have a wonderful day.
And that's a heart-wrapped episode of the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast. May your compass always point to kindness.
As you navigate the world, let compassion be your North Star. Join us next time as we continue to redefine success one heart-led decision at a time.
Lead wisely, lead with heart. You can learn more about us at CompassionateLeadersCircle.com.